Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe outlines 5 biblical principles we need to apply to our most important relationships.
When you have anger that is given into resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness and you haven't dealt with it, it's like inviting an enemy, someone that hates your family, it's like inviting them to live in your house and saying, here is your room. You can stay with us as long as you want.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks a lot about how to get along with people. And Mark, you're going to be in chapter 4 with a message called Stop Hijacking Your Relationships. But I'm going to ask you to explain that title for a moment.
You know, I think a lot of us value relationships, but we hijack them. And a hijack is when a car is going in a direction and some exterior force changes that direction.
Right. Takes over.
And it gets off course. Yeah. And so I think a lot of us do that to our own marriages, to our own coworker relationships, to our relationships with our children. So this is going to be a good message. I preach this, by the way, at Maranatha Bible Conference up in Muskegon, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening from up around that area, let me give a shout out to those that know what Maranatha Camp is.
Actually, I was just there myself the past few days, so I know what you're talking about.
Beautiful place.
But let's get after the message now and get started. It's called Stop Hijacking Your Relationships.
It was in the middle of COVID, and I was walking in the hallway of the church. And she came up to me with panic in her eyes, anger in her voice, desperation. She said, Pastor Mark. I said, yes. She said, I am leaving him. I said, you're leaving whom? And she said, I have had it. I have put up with it as long as I can put up with it. And I am leaving him. And I just wanted to let you know, I said, who are you talking about? She said, my husband. She said, I'm talking about my husband. I've had enough. And I said, hold on, pause a second. We're in the middle of COVID. COVID has put a lot of stress and strain on relationships and families. And I said, promise me this. Can you hold off a little bit? It's bad to make a decision in the middle of crisis. Because in the middle of crisis is the worst time to make a decision that could affect the rest of your life. I said, so would you promise me? Look at me. And she said, okay, Pastor, I'll do it because you're telling me to do it. But it's going to be quick. I said, okay, hold on. Thank God I saw her recently, and she said, thank you for telling me to hold on. Things are a lot better. I'm staying with them. We're on the path to recovery. But I want to say that during this time of COVID, this has been one of the most challenging times on marriages, on families, on extended families, on workplaces, on churches, on communities. And then the global pandemic gave way to some economic crisis. 70 million people in America applied for unemployment. That uncertainty in our nation gave way to exasperated some of the other tensions that we found in our nation. I have not seen as much political polarization in my entire life, and families arguing within each other's families, not talking to each other, social media going crazy, people at each other like never before. The racial tensions in America escalated to a different degree, and we have had churches that have been divided, families that have been divided, marriages that are struggling all across this country. And I believe that this is a time for us to look at the Word of God, especially when it comes to relationships. And as I was praying about what I should share today, what was heavy on my heart was the healing and some of the principles that the Word of God talks about concerning family and churches and community and relationships. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe your husband dragged you to Maranatha Conference and you say, I want to go. I just wish it was with someone else, not you. Maybe you have relatives that you barely talk to. Maybe your family is somewhat divided. Maybe this is a tense time for you. Maybe you have been struggling yourself with just working through all the different points of view, the strong opinions that families have, the generational gaps that are there. And I believe that the Bible has a lot to say about the topic of embracing healthy relationships. And I believe that there's some healing that needs to happen in our nation, in our churches, and in our families. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be looking at verses 25 through 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. I believe that there's five principles that the Apostle Paul gives us in this passage, really about how to manage relationships. And I believe that each of these principles is powerful, and I pray that God would reveal to your heart if there is one of these principles that you need to be applying to your marriage, to your family, to your extended family, to your church, at this time, as we look at healing some of the relationships that right now are broken and dysfunctional. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian believers, and he says in verse 20, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self." Say old self. I usually preach in the city of Chicago, so I'm used to like back and forth a little bit. Old self means that which you were before, not what you are now. So he says, you were taught in regard to your former life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the Apostle Paul is saying, that's what you were in the past. That's how you lived in the past. That's the old self. But you have been taught to put on a new self, and the new self doesn't act like the rest of the world. The new self doesn't engage in marriage like the rest of the world, doesn't lead their families like the rest of the world, doesn't engage in dialogue with the rest of the world. That's how the world does it. That's how you were. That was the old you. But I'm calling you to live a different way, a countercultural way, is what he's telling us to do. And he says, therefore, and you've been taught, if you've been a Bible-believing church, that anytime you see the word therefore, you have to ask what? What is it there for? Because therefore means I'm building on a previous thought. And so he says, therefore, since you're putting off the old and putting on the new, he goes in and he gives the Ephesian believers who are used to living like the rest of the world, who are engaged in the same kind of controversy and the same kind of bitterness and rage and anger and dysfunction and divisiveness that everybody else was involved in. He says, therefore, you are to lead your relationships in a different way. If you're taking notes, write this down. He gives us five key principles for our extended relationships. Number one, stop pretending and be honest. In verse 25, he says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In the Greek, the word is having put off. It means something not that you're doing right now, but something that you did already. Put off falsehood. The idea is that the culture of the kingdom of God is the language of truth. But the culture of darkness, the native language is deception, half-truths, exaggerations, not being honest, pretending. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, that's who you were, that's how you lived before, that's not who you are right now. Now, I know some people pride themselves in being brutally honest. Have you ever run into someone like that? Don't raise your hand if you're one of those people that says, you don't have to wonder what's on my mind because I just tell people what's on my mind. Can I tell you something? We don't always want to know what's on your mind. You know, there is a counterbalance here. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, it's talking about the enemy. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, the same book, the Apostle Paul says, instead, speak the truth in what? In love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So we speak the truth. But speaking the truth doesn't mean that we always tell people everything that we think the time we think. You said, well, they did gain 20 pounds. That's all right. You don't have to tell them they gained 20 pounds since you saw them last. Well, they do look old, Pastor Mark. I know, but you don't have to tell them they've aged 10 years in the last year. You speak the truth, but listen, you speak the truth in love. That means that you have to ask yourself, is the truth that I in conveying, is this edifying to the person that I'm speaking to? But I speak the truth, but I do it in love. Number two, this is a big one. Don't let anger turn into a foothold. Verse 26, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So here's what I want you to understand. The emotion of anger is not a sin. It's an emotion. The Bible says that God becomes angry and God doesn't sin. So just because you're angry doesn't mean that you've sinned. It's a spectrum of emotion. Sadness, gladness, anger. None of those are sin. But they can be the precursor to sin.
That's our Bible teacher, Mark Job, with Bold Steps. And today's lesson, Stop Hijacking Your Relationships. We'll continue after we hit the pause button for just a moment to say thanks, deep thanks to our Bold partners. Thanks to your faithful giving, this ministry is reaching new listeners with the gospel and building up the faith of God's people each and every day. And Mark, many listeners are writing to us to let us know it's working. Here's a note. Someone loves you, Mark. Jen says, love Pastor Mark. Such a great example in the body of Christ. I just know that anything he teaches within Bold Steps helps my walk on this journey to know my Heavenly Father more, till we go to eternity with our Father someday. I pray that souls who come to Christ get to listen to Bold Steps. It really takes care of Christ's sheep.
Thank you, Jen. What nice a word note, of encouragement. Huh? Yeah. That was very nice. Thank you, Jen. And you're right. You know, there's so many people out in different places around the U.S. and other parts of the world that are responding and letting us know that this program is really helping their walk with God. Wayne, this past Sunday, had two beautiful ladies approach me, and they visited the church on Sunday, and they said, you know, we've never been here, but we just wanted to say that during COVID, your program helped us survive. We would not have made it through that. Mm. And I thought, you know, it's a beautiful thing that God is using the word to help empower and encourage people. And it's possible because we have people praying and we have people giving. And our Bold partners are a key to this because they really help us be able to economically
undergird this ministry.
Yeah, and plan for the future of this ministry as well. So thank you so much. Your gifts and donations really do make a difference. You decide the amount to give each month, but when you give $30 or more, you'll receive some special benefits. They're all listed at our website, boldstepsradio.org. All right, let's return to the message now from Pastor Mark. Stop hijacking your relationships.
I remember hearing of a boy that was watching a pastor build a fence. And the pastor kind of thought, wow, this boy really is interested in my skill and how well I do things. And so he paused and he said to the boy, hey, are you learning something? Are you interested in building fences? Are you admiring my work? The boy said, no. He said, well, then why are you watching me? And the boy said, no, I'm just wondering what a pastor says when he hits his finger with the hammer. You're just kind of wondering, so what comes out of your mouth when you are angry? And can I tell you this? Sometimes we need to be angry. Jesus was angry at what happened in his house, the house of prayer, and he turned over tables. There are times when we should be angry, where it is the emotion that we should embrace, because anger is an energy that leads to action. However, by and large, most of our anger, if not dealt with, can create a huge opportunity for the enemy to destroy some of the key relationships in our life. The Apostle Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So let me just say a couple of things about this. So in your anger, do not sin. In other words, don't let this strong emotion, this explosive emotion, blast apart the closest relationships around you. Because typically that's what anger does. Secondly, what he tells us is this, and don't let this sun go down while you are angry. He gives us the 24-hour rule. He says, if you're angry, if you're explosive, if you're angry, if you're mad at someone, your spouse, your kids, someone else, he says, do not allow the day to go by without dealing with your anger. Why does the Apostle Paul tell us that? Some of you get angry and you say, well, I've dealt with my anger. No, you haven't dealt with your anger. You just let your anger, the emotion of your anger, you've let it simmer down. And if you let it simmer down but don't deal with the root of it, it turns into bitterness. It turns into resentment. It turns into unforgiveness. And so some of you think that you've dealt with it because you're not explosive, but it's turned into something much more insidious. It's turned into an undergirding of resentment, of bitterness, of a simmering that every time you look at that person, it affects the way you talk to them. It affects the way you relate to them. It affects the way you deal with them. I've seen couples that have been married for years, but because they didn't deal with some hurt in their life that initially was manifest in anger, now they're married to each other, but there is a root of bitterness, a root of resentment that undergirds their relationship. And so there's emotional coldness towards each other. There's lack of affection physically. There is a distance that's been created. Why? Because what happened is that they didn't follow the 24-hour rule. So, men, can I just give you a little secret if you want to obey the Bible? If you have a really good fight that you want to engage in, just start early in the morning. That way you have all day to be mad and fight about it. Because if you do it in the evening, you got to fix it pretty quickly. No, I'm just kidding with you, but the truth is, I remember when I first got married, we had gone to counseling,
And our counselor had said, you need to work out your conflict resolution rhythm, your dance. And he said, some people pull back. Some people want to talk. Some people get silent. How many of you are the silent kind when you get angry? You just clam down, get silent. Others are talkers. They just want to talk, and the other person is just quiet, and they're talking. And they say, why aren't you talking to me? I just need some time. Well, you need some time. Let's talk about it right now. You just want to put it under the rug. That's what you want to do. You just want to deal with it. I just need some time. And so I remember getting my first argument with my wife after we got married, and she clammed down, and I said, what's wrong? Nothing. Now, if you've been married long enough, you know when someone says nothing, that there's something. They just don't want to say it. So I said, well, I have no idea what I did wrong. Can you explain to me what I did? Do you want to talk about it? No. I said, okay, you know, our counselor told us to give you a certain amount of time. Do you need 20 minutes? That made her mad, even further mad. So I said, I'll set the watch right now. I'll give you 20 minutes, and then 20 minutes, can we talk? I wouldn't recommend that. But we did have to work through our rhythm of not allowing anger. Listen, this is huge when it comes to relationships. Huge when it comes to relationships. He says, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Commentator Bruce says, here's the suggestion is that anger can be prevented from degenerating into sin if a strict time limit is placed on it. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What the Apostle Paul is telling us is that what happens when you're angry, if you don't deal with it immediately, it degenerates into something that is more damaging but less visible in your relationships. And listen, and it ends up giving the devil a foothold in your marriage, in your family, at your church. What is a foothold? Well, if you break down this word foothold, it literally means space. And it's like creating a guest quarter for someone that hates your family and wants to tear it apart. When you have anger that is given into resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness and you haven't dealt with it, and you let it simmer, you give the devil a foothold. It's like inviting an enemy, someone that hates your family and wants to destroy your family. It's like inviting them to live in your house and saying, here is your room. You can stay with us as long as you want. That's granting the devil a foothold.
We'll continue this important warning about giving the devil a foothold in our relationships when we return for tomorrow's edition of Bold Steps with Mark Job. But before then, be sure to go to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Check out some of the faith-building resources we've made available, like our latest Bold Steps gift. To tell us more about it, here again is Mark.
In today's culture, self-improvement is a popular subject. Filling bookshelves and talk shows with self-help guidance on how to be a happier person. But the problem with the pursuit of happiness is that it often leads to selfish ambition and worldly desire. Yet when we actively pursue God, we find something greater than happiness or personal gain. What we find is true fulfillment and the unlocking of our greatest potential. That's why Dr. Kathy Cook wrote a book called Five to Thrive. Dr. Cook wants to help us understand how each of our deepest longings are designed and ultimately fulfilled by God. In this pivotal resource, she outlines five core needs that we all share and the biblical steps that we can take to make sure they're met. So don't settle for the worldly pursuit of happiness. Instead, spend time with God and learn how to begin nurturing the fundamental needs He has placed in your heart.
So request your copy of Five to Thrive when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
You can give easily or one-time gift online by visiting boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or request your copy of this book, Five to Thrive, and give your gift through the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then remember, if you ever want to listen to these messages during a workout or a walk around the neighborhood or simply at another hour, you can easily do that anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Simply open up your favorite podcast app, search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Job, and click subscribe. And while you're there, leave us a comment and let us know what the Bold Steps ministry means to you in your own walk of faith. You can also reach out to us on social media. We're on most of the major platforms like Facebook and Instagram, and you'll find us by searching for Bold Steps Radio. I'm Wayne Shepherd. That's the time we have for today. Be sure to join us tomorrow for the final half of this lesson titled, Stop Hijacking Your Relationships. That's Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.